Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele podcast quick take.
What up, everybody? Welcome to this quick take on the November elections that just happened. Oh, yeah, all the crazy that was Tuesday. Guess what? We got a way of breaking this down, and we've got one of the best out here to kind of give us her thoughts on it. And we got a little bit of surprise because we got another one of the best. This is a twofer. I'm loving this. I'm a happy Woo-hoo! Boy today. Happy boy. Joining us is Maria Cardona, seasoned public policy advocate and political strategist with more than two decades of experience in the government, politics, and public relations. And her partner, because they got their own podcast thing going on. So this is why this is cross-branding. It's just so much fun. is Alice Stewart, who I've known for many years in our work in the minds of the Republican Party. She's an American political commentator for CNN. She's worked on numerous Republican political campaigns and brings a wealth of experience. So, ladies, I'm just so happy.
It's serendipitous, Michael. I love it.
This is so good. This is so good. So, okay, what the hell happened on Tuesday, and why are people overreacting to it?
You know, that is a very good question. I think, and I did a column for Real Clear Politics with my take. Alice did a column for CNN with her take. But I think, you know, what I end my column with, Michael, and I think that this is important to keep in mind, is while there are certainly lessons to be learned for Democrats in terms of what happened in the elections this past week, it's not everything, right? So it doesn't mean nothing, but it doesn't mean everything. And what I mean by that is everyone is talking about the demise of the Democrats. Oh my God, what are they going to do in the midterms? What's the path forward? And look, we have to take lessons about messaging first and foremost for what people need, what they want out of their leaders. Democrats were exhausted. Independents were frustrated because both of those groups gave their votes and their confidence to Joe Biden and the Democrats a year ago. And rightly so, they were hoping that at this point they were going to see big things done. Now, big things have been done, right? The American Rescue Plan, the COVID money, the vaccinations, all of that. But as you know, in politics, Michael, it's mm-hmm. what have you done for me lately?
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of voters, because of the pandemic and because the economy surged, but then with the Delta variant, you know, things really just got a lot more complicated. People are scared. They are tired of being indoors. They are worried about their kids. You know, having to close down schools again, all of these frustrations they took out on the Democratic candidates. And many of the Democratic candidates, especially Terry McAuliffe, were not able to message a positive, hopeful, and frankly, credible message to these voters. And there were some very specific things that happened, especially in the Virginia gubernatorial race, that are not going to happen in the midterms, or at least we hope are not going to happen in the midterms. The midterms are a year away. The midterms will have very different candidates. Glenn Youngkin, I think, was brilliant in how he danced this pernicious two-step of messaging with a wink and a nod to Trump's base on critical race theory, on election integrity issues. And at the same time, talking about broadly education and the economy, to independence, which is what they wanted to hear. The candidates, I'm sorry, just one last thing. I know I'm filibustering. The candidates that are going to be running in the midterms, at least many of them across the board for the House and the Senate, are not Glenn Youngkins. They're more like mini Trumps. Right. And so what Democrats have to do is they have to take a look at what their own situations are in their own races and continue to do messages about what Democrats are going to be doing. You know, today you see that hopefully there's going to be a vote on these aid bills, you know, reconciliation and the infrastructure package. And we need to talk about those, not calling them infrastructure bill or reconciliation, but what will they actually do for voters?
I take to heart a lot of what you said, because I think it's right on the money. And Alice, you have been on the podcast before, and we've kind of, you know, sat in the corner sort of cringing about some of the crazy going on inside our party, and trying to sort of pull it back into that sane lane. Youngkin seemed to have done that in many respects. You know, yeah, he did the sort of wink and nod to the Trump base, did the Heisman maneuver with Trump himself, you know, kind of creating that distance. But there is some value to what he did. I mean, what he said to voters. He came off normal, sound of mind. He had, you know, proposals that, you know, people could debate, but they were solid proposals, like, for example, eliminating the tax on groceries, particularly as we're now, you know, realizing the effects of, you know, the mini inflation that we're seeing that could grow into a larger problem in the first quarter of next year. How do you assess how Youngkin positioned himself, and to the point about you know, what candidates are going to look like in the primaries next year? There is some truth that they're going to be very different looking in that regard. So you have this, everybody's talking about this pathway that Youngkin's created, but you got a lot more Marjorie Taylor Greens running in 2022 than you have Glenn Youngkin's.
Great to be with you, Michael. I think the key is the key to Glenn Youngkin's success is that he was a Youngkin Republican and not a Trump Republican. And so many people in the Democratic side tried to tie him into Trump. What he did, I like to call it, he took the Goldilocks approach to Trump in terms of it wasn't too close, it wasn't too far, it was just the right distance from Trump in order to keep Trump's base, not poke the bear, but also set himself aside as a candidate who focused on policies that unite us and not the personalities that divide us. And he focused on the policies. From day one, he was focused on jobs, the economy, and pocketbook issues, public safety, and education. And when he's talking about pocketbook issues, he takes it down to issues that are of importance to Virginia voters. Like you say, he's going to repeal the grocery tax on day one, as he said. He will also suspend the gas tax on day one, given the supply chain crisis and the increasing gas prices that we have. He will also roll back taxes in the state. Those are the kind of things that people want to hear from their leaders that will do something to impact their daily lives and kitchen table issues. But education and parental choice was a key issue for him from the beginning. But what happened was Terry McAuliffe making, I think, a fatal flaw in the debate where he said that parents should not be involved in their child's education. Yep. And he can come out of that afterwards and say it was taken out of context. But the word he said the words, and the Youngkin campaign was able to recognize the fact that that hit a nerve with a key voting block in Virginia. And the key voting block is not Republican, Democrat, or independent. That voting block is parents. And when parents are told that they are going to be sidelined and silenced in their kids' education, then that's a problem. And that got a lot of parents involved in the Youngkin campaign. And he also did a good job of appealing to women and appealing to African Americans and Latinos, which is a key aspect for his victory. And those were key factors in Youngkin's success. And he managed to navigate the tightrope with Trump. He didn't ignore any voting block that he thought was not within reach. They did very well with independents, which is a key to their success. those are, I think, how Glenn Youngkin managed to come out on top, because, and he also worked really hard. He had a huge successful bus tour at the end, and he had momentum at the right moment, which is key. But if I can follow up on one thing that Maria said, and I'll hand it back. She talked about a lot of the outside influences that impacted Terry McAuliffe's race, the dysfunction in Washington, as well as the inability to have progress. I think those are important factors, but also there are self-inflicted wounds on part of McAuliffe. The statement about parents being silenced in education, that I think was one that they will always go back to as this is where the air went out of the tires. And also putting so much emphasis on Donald Trump, who is not on the ticket. He's not running. And Glenn Youngkin was not closely tied with him. So I think when they do their postmortem, their after action item report, they're going to look at, we shouldn't have focused on Trump, and we should have walked back that education comment sooner.
Hey, Maria, what Alice has put out here actually sets up very nicely the other twin problems that the Democrats encountered on election night. The first was the Minneapolis voters, soundly rejecting the idea of defunding the police. Can Democrats finally put that ish to bed and move on and create a better narrative on that front? And two, New Jersey. No one saw New Jersey coming. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't, anyone out there saying, oh yeah, well, I predicted New Jersey would be close. No, you didn't. Just stop lying, shut up, because you didn't. Because no one saw the Republicans performing the way they performed in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Was that more about the national angst that Americans have about Democrats generally? Or was that something where Republicans, you know, just had a better game plan on the ground to turn out their vote?
So let me first address the defund the police, which is that's sort of where you're getting at here. Right. So I hope so, Michael. I hope that the Democrats can just put that aside. It doesn't mean that they have to stop talking about, you know, criminal
police
justice
reform,
police reform. Right. No, we need to be talking about that, but we need to be talking about it in a manner that actually doesn't scare people. And that's what happened. And we actually gave the tools to the other side to talk about it and use it against us. We let them weaponize that issue. And I'm hoping that we are now able to just take that off the table. In terms of New Jersey, you know, if you had actually talked to people who, Democrats who were on the ground in New Jersey a couple of weeks before the election, they were saying, hey, by the way, this is going to be a lot closer than people think. They were saying that. No one was paying attention.
Right.
And so, yes, that it ended up being a surprise. But let's also remember that both in New Jersey and in Virginia, it was always historically, from a historic standpoint, an uphill battle for Democrats, as well as, you know, both in New Jersey and in Virginia. And in Virginia, as you know, it is normally always the party that is out of power that wins. Terry McAuliffe was the only one that has in the past been able to capture lightning in a bottle and win that. And it was going to be tough for him to do that twice, no matter what. In New Jersey, same thing. You know, a Democrat has not been reelected for a second term in I don't know how many decades. And so again, but that doesn't excuse, right, what happened. I agree with Alice in terms of what happened to Terry. His fatal mistake was making a comment about education, though I have to say this because, and not to excuse it, because I think the Youngkin campaign was brilliant in how they took that comment and they did take it out of context and they did attribute to him something that he did not say, but Terry never walked it back.
Yeah. That's politics.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to take it out of context. You got to put it back in context.
Right. You're absolutely right. That is politics. But you know, I will say this, you know, on the one hand, you know, sort of what Terry was trying to say, and he's right about this, is that, you know, Glenn Youngkin's closing ad was that wacky woman saying, you know, talking about banning Toni Morrison's book, Beloved.
Yeah, right, right. Because her son was traumatized from reading Toni Morrison in an AP English course, for God's sake.
Exactly, exactly. So me, as a mother of two, I don't want that woman anywhere near anything having to do deciding what my kids, are taught in school, right?
Right.
So that's the other side of this. But Terry never explained it that way, right?
Right.
Terry,
right.
What he said was that parents should not decide what is taught in schools. And he's right about that. But then he didn't explain it when the issue started exploding, right?
Right.
And so also as a mother who was very involved in her children's education, you know, my husband and I essentially were their teachers for a year and a half.
Right.
I can understand why the Youngkin campaign took that and ran with it, because then if you hear as a parent who has been teaching your kids for a year and a half, the last thing you want to hear is that this other politician doesn't want you to be involved in your child's education. Right.
Right.
So
right.
Again, brilliant on the Youngkin's campaign behalf, stupid on the McAuliffe's campaign behalf for not having cleaned that up immediately afterward, because if he had done that, I you know, we might be in a different situation today.
Final question, both of you. And do it real quick. Who has the edge going into 2022 right now? The momentum seems to be with?
I think it's with the Republicans right now. And Democrats need to act like that is the case, whether they think that's the case or not,
right?
Because that is going to make sure that we get it right, make sure that we talk about, you know, our wins, what we're going to be able to do for the American people if this, you know, these packages pass. What does that mean? If I'm a single mom, I'm going to be able to go to work and have my kids cared for. If I am caring for an elderly parent, I'm going to have help with that. Child tax credit, climate change, if that's your issue, you know, all of these great things that we're going to be able to talk about in that way, in terms of being able to do what they were elected to do. And so we need to think, Democrats need to think that this is an uphill battle, because it is, right? Again, historically, we are not in a good position. And our margins are razor thin. We have nothing to be able to, we don't have any buffer here, right?
Right.
So we have to get it right. And in order to get it right, you have to be running scared.
Alice, you agree?
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's Republicans races to lose in 2022. And I do believe the Glenn Youngkin strategy of addition is the way to go. And I say addition in terms of politics is the game of addition. You keep Trump's base, but you also broaden it out to the disaffected Republicans and the independents who were put off by the tone and tenor of Trump. And you cannot be the Marjorie Taylor Greens and going into this midterm and expect to come out victorious. We learned that with the Georgia Senate races. We lost two key Senate races because they were too Trumpy. And look, I support the former president's policies, but under his leadership, we lost the House, the Senate, and the White House. And if, I play enough athletic sports to realize if you lose, you're 0-3, you use a new playbook.
Yeah.
I think the Youngkin playbook was the right strategy to do. And one other issue I just want to point out moving forward is, let's focus on the policies. There's so many issues with the Democrats we can point to with regard to the economy, with the supply chain crisis, with Afghanistan, with COVID. Let's just focus on policy and show the contrast. And I also have another suggestion, Michael, that you may remember. This was a very successful strategy from the Republican playbook. 2010, this very smart Republican named Michael Steele, who was the chairman of the Republican Party, got on this big bus, traveled around the country, the Fire Pelosi bus tour, and got Republicans involved. And you said, quote, "This may be our last chance to save America." And this was in 2010, August of 2010. And that's important. We need to remind people, if we don't fire Pelosi and we don't fire Democrats in charge, their potential for this progressive overhaul of government is real. So I think taking a page from your playbook would be a good move for Republicans.
And to that point, Alice, that it's overhauled that the American voters have said they didn't bargain for when they elected Joe Biden. And I think that that's something that Democrats need to focus on, what Biden knows America can get behind. He's got 19 Republicans who have voted with him on infrastructure.
Right.
Pass it, sell it, talk about it. To Maria's point, create a new narrative around something other than defunding the police and, you know, a sort of, you know, sideways wokeism that Americans don't necessarily want right now. They want stability in the markets, jobs created, COVID and recession, their kids back in classrooms, safe and learning. And if you deliver that, Democrats, you can actually probably make 2022 competitive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, this goes back to the very first point I make in my column, which is this, that how much of our losses, at least I think in Virginia, but probably across the board as well, were the political tectonic plates, which had shifted out of position since the election of Trump, simply resuming a more familiar pre-Trump position, right? To Alice's point about how you ran, right? And other Republicans ran pre-Trump, we were all focused on issues. When Democrats won pre-Trump, it was on issues.
Right.
And so how much of it was that Democrats were woefully unprepared to fight on that terrain because we were so used to fighting everything having to do with Trump, right? And so we need to get back to when you and I would go on MSNBC actually debate issues.
And debate issues, right? Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
imagine that.
That's what Democrats kept talking about during the Trump era. Oh my God, remember when we could actually focus on issues? Okay, Democrats, well, now's
your time.
This is our opportunity. And we have to go back and get great at doing that again.
So I'm the luckiest man in DC because I got the twofer of Maria Cardona and Alice Stewart. To give us the breakdown on this Tuesday's elections. So tell folks your podcast, because you guys are going to be going into your own podcast after we finish up here. What tell us about it.
Yes, we're getting ready to record right now. It's Hot Mics from Left to Right. And it's on all the podcast platforms. And we started this when COVID started, just because we felt there was a place, a need for respectful conversations on the issues. And as you heard, Maria and I disagree on policy, but we have a great love and respect for each other and have conversations about the issues that I think are important. Mm-hmm. You know, neither one of us expect to change the other person's mind, but it's about broadening our own understanding of the issues, which we think is important.
Well, and the other thing that is important for us, and you know, we know that you are in this camp as well, is that you have to have these conversations with humanity, right? That's one of the things I think that was siphoned out of our politics in the last 5 years. And so we want to remind people, and this is why I'm so glad that we're able to do all of this together, because we know you agree with us on this. You have to look at this from the lens of we're all humans in this. We're all in this together, no matter where you are. And you have to be able to have these conversations based on policies, not personal, right? And so we have to continue to talk about these things, because these are issues, as we just saw, that affect people's lives. And you can't get personal about it. You can't look and talk, across the person, but you have to talk to the person. And so Alice and I do that on a weekly basis.
Well, the space where they get to play folks, Hot Mic from Left to Right, with Maria Cardona and Alice Stewart. Like I said, I was really lucky to get both of you.
We were lucky. Yeah, this was fun.
Let's do a lot of fun.
You have to come on our podcast next time, okay?
Consider it done. Done.
Awesome.
I'll make sure my producer talks to your producer and we make that happen, because it's a lot of fun.
Considering it's the same person, that should be
I know, right? It's going to be easy.
That's right.
I'll have my people talk to your people who are our people. So
that's right. There you go. Michael, right. Thank you so much. This was such a treat for us. This
thank you, guys. Be blessed out there, folks. Until next time, y'all be safe.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. That's 5 stars. 5 stars. Say it over and over and over. Or you can catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. You know how that goes. Peace out. Catch you next time.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.